Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abousalbi. Samer, how are we doing this week?
Doing real well. It is it's fall now, which if you've been listening for a while, you know I'm really excited. Fall is actually one of my favorite seasons. But there's also the time, being in the Northeast, that people go apple picking. And I was wondering, have you ever been apple picking? Because I have not. And I just can't seem to figure out why you might even do that.
Well, when I lived in Maine for 3 years, and while I was up there, one summer we went strawberry picking.
Okay.
And that was actually more fun than you think, because you kind of go through and it's kind of this day, you know, you're out there on the farm and you're just picking fruit and then you take home all this fresh fruit. So I was like, this is all right, you know?
Okay.
I don't think all it's right. Something I would do every, you know, every day. Like, I don't think it would make it a habit. And I don't think I want to be a farmer. But,
all right.
You know, now that I have small kids, I could see myself taking the kids to something like that and them just really enjoying it. Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah. But no apple picking. I don't know if I've been close enough to an apple orchard to make that happen.
Yeah, that's fair. I will stick to, I think, the Trader Joe's for my apple picking. I think it's just, you know, it's just right there. They have a wonderful selection. I can make an event of it. The lines are so long. You know, you can meet people. It's
That's
great.
True. That's true. Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah. Nothing wrong with interacting with people, right?
Indeed.
So speaking of interacting with people, we have a guest on the show today. He is a freelance photographer from Seattle, Washington, and in 2018, he published a book called 80s Redo, full of photos from some of your favorite artists from the 1980s as they look today. And he just published the follow-up, and that one's entitled Live Through That, 90s Musicians Today, Showcasing Current Photos of Artists from the 90s. So I thought of it as essentially a photographic version of a super awesome mix. So we had to have him on the show. He is Mike Hipple. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, folks. Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, you're a freelance photographer. What inspired you to kind of go back and look at these 80s and now 90s musicians and kind of take a look at what they look like today?
Yeah. So, on the first book, the 80s book, I kind of was starting. We just had a baby. We just adopted a baby girl. And I was, you know, when you first have a kid, you're kind of like in this little bubble, right? And I needed to like get inspired and be creative, because, you know, I was needing to get something to do something. So I kind of just created this self-assignment of like artists and people that I really admired. And I was just surprised. I didn't really expect it to go anywhere. And then I would email people coldly, and then people would just say, hey, I'll do this. And it wasn't musicians, because I thought that was out of my reach. But then one day I got a phone call from this woman named Valerie from a band called New Shoes, and they had a hit, I Can't Wait, in the 80s. And she's like, hey, can you come down to Portland and help me do some band photos? We're going to go out and tour. We have this big thing, whatever. So I went down there, and I was like, it just was inspiring to be kind of like, oh wait, these bands are doing, they're still doing these really cool creative things. And I had no idea at the time that there was like a little hotbed of 80s bands down in Portland. New Shoes was there, Martha Davis from the Motels, Tommy Tutone, you know, the 8675.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's down there. All these people were down there. And so Valerie kind of hooked me up with some of those folks. And then from there, I just kind of started, I'm like, okay, well, I could do this, and just kind of add it to my little creative series. But at a certain point, it just became a book idea, and just kind of packaging it together, because they all have such good stories. And when I did the 80s book, of course, that's the music that I kind of grew up on in my teen years, was that. But I really came of age in the 90s. And of course, when the 80s book was out, I was like, I got to do a 90s book if this one does well. So yeah, in that, you know, I live in Seattle, Washington, so it was a good starting off point for that, because, you know, there were a lot of grunge bands here. Of course, many of them said no, but I got, you know, Chris Ballew from the President of the United States of America. He was one of the first ones to sign on board. And then randomly, I got an assignment to photograph Chris Novoselic from Nirvana. And I was like, oh my God, how do I like get him to be part of the book project too?
That's amazing.
That's a big get. Yeah.
A super nice guy, super nice guy. And he actually reached out to me because he was doing a new band called Giants in the Trees, and he wanted me to photograph some new band pictures for him. So I was like, well, yeah, I'd be happy to do that, but can I just take a couple of portraits of you just alone and interview you? And yeah, he was great. He was great. So that kind of got it started off rolling, that ball rolling. Sorry, that was a little bit of a long story. But
no, that's
awesome.
That's
how it all came to be.
I had forgotten about Presidents of the United States of America as a band, and I'm so happy you reminded me of them, because I listened to them all the time when I was younger, and they still, like, I'm playing Peaches in my head right now, because it's just such a great, so many great songs, and yeah, Lump, and, like, all these other ones.
He's fantastic, and I think he's, like, in this, he does, here in Seattle, he does, he has this identity called Casper Baby Pants, where he kind of just plays songs for kids. And it's kind of makes sense, right? Because those President songs, they were kind of like kids' songs for
adults. They were, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
But he's great.
That's
so
great.
Cool. Well, let's get into this mix, which features a lot of, as you mentioned, musicians from the 90s, and some great songs in here. Had a lot of fun listening to this one. You opened it up with Slow Dog by the band Belly. Tell us about this one.
So I've been a huge fan of Tana Donnelly since I was like 17 and she was in the Throwing Muses. And then, of course, with the Breeders stuff and then with Belly. And she's done a lot of really good solo work after Belly as well, because they broke up after the second album. And then she did a couple of solo albums. And during the pandemic, too, she had recorded, did a bunch of cover songs. Which are amazing, and I really suggest you look up this song called "Bless the Telephone." It's amazing, but it's so gorgeous, it just brings tears to your eyes. But you know, "Feed the Tree" was the big hit off of that first album, which I love that song too, and I still feel like that song, all of those songs hold up. But "Slow Dog" just was kind of my favorite one. I just love that little chorus in there. She's fantastic. And I photographed her for the book in Boston.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So they're now in Boston, and that's where you ended up taking pictures of them. Okay. And did you talk to them specifically, like when you put this mix together, were these songs that maybe you had conversations with them about, or was it just kind of your favorite song from some of these artists?
No, so when I went about creating the mix, I was just kind of trying to find some of my favorite artists from the book and some of the favorite songs from that book and some of the ones that have really good stories. Tanya was one of those ones that I was sure was going to say no, because I get a lot of no's when I reach out to do this book. And but I really, really wanted so badly to get her. And she was so nice and sweet and just was immediately an immediate yes. And I was totally starstruck. One of the very few people that I was really starstruck with, because I was nervous and I wanted to make it right, you know? So,
yeah.
But she was so sweet and nice. And unfortunately, you know, because I was a little nervous during that shoot, I only did one big setup, and I usually try for two or three. I was trying to be respectful of time and stuff. Mm-hmm. But man, at the end, when we were putting the book together, I was like, oh, damn it. I wish I had just another setup to do a big double page spread or something. But alas, it worked though. It worked. She's great.
Well, great. Track two, we get into one that got a little bit of a revival, I think, in the last few years with, like, I think they were featured in a commercial for, like, Chase credit cards, but the Soup Dragons and I'm Free.
Yes, yes. I could have picked a bunch of songs, and, you know, this is a cover of a Rolling Stones song that they did. But really, I mean, nobody remembers the Rolling Stones song. When you think about this song, the Soup Dragons totally made it their own, right? It doesn't.
Right.
It's like the Rolling Stones song doesn't even exist anymore. And Sean also, I went to London to photograph Sean. And we met in the Shoreditch neighborhood, and he's just a really engaging guy and just has lots of great stories. And like his story of, you know, the fall of Soup Dragons and where he's been doing now is just, it's a long, twisted little road. And but now he's just fantastic. And he does this song, he still does a lot of DJing. But he also does his own records, and he has this song that came out during the pandemic called Bunker to Bunker, which is also really great. It's with a Scottish guy, I think. I can't remember. His name, David McCalmont, and he goes under the moniker McHi-Fi. And I, like I said, I could have picked a bunch of different songs, but one of the main reasons I picked this one is just because when I moved into my first apartment in college, my parents came to help me, and it was a totally scuzzy apartment. It was just a bad part right. of town.
And, as they and often are came. At that point.
Yeah. And my parents were there, and my dad walked in. I had just put the CD on in my thing. And you know how at the beginning there's that big voice, and it booms. He goes, "Don't be afraid of your freedom." And at just that moment, my dad walked in, and I think he thought that there was somebody in the hallway, like going to a costume or something like that. And he totally freaked out, and it's just hilarious. But anyway, but I have good memories with that.
That is awesome. It's I mean, it's like such a great like 90s party track too, right? I mean, it's just like a classic. You know, as Matt said, like you still play it today. And as you said, they've completely obliterated the Rolling Stones version. Like this is, I started to play this at the first couple of notes. I didn't immediately recognize it. And then I was like, oh, of course, it's this song. This is yeah. so, so good.
And it definitely is like, you know, the beginning of that kind of party, London, Manchester, Madchester kind of mm-hmm. scene stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though they weren't technically part of that scene, but it was really kind of the kickoff of all that.
Well, let's take ourselves to track three here. And we've got We're All Happy by Possum Dixon. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, this is a little bit of an obscure one. And Possum Dixon was, you know, they had a couple of radio hits in the 90s. You know, Emergency's About to Happen is a good one. Watch That Girl Destroy Me is another good one. But I really wanted to get Possum Dixon in here just because Rob Zabrecki, who's the lead singer of that band, you know, after the band broke up, he kind of, again, he went in a crazy direction, and he's now a professional magician, which is just a total right turn, left turn for where he ended up being. And he also wrote this amazing memoir that came out, I think, in 2018, 2019, called Strange Cures. And it's fantastic. And I know everybody loves that Patti Smith memoir, Just Kids, which is kind of like, you know, the ideal of what a great rock memoir is. But, you know, his book is pretty close up there, too. And it's just, it's really, it's just a great book. And I picked this song because when I was doing the book, I would go back and kind of re-listen to some of the songs that some of these artists had done. And I had completely forgotten about this song. And yeah, it was never a single or anything like that, but it's just like the beginning of that cacophony kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then goes yeah. right into the chorus. It's fantastic. I love it.
No, it's a great pick, but definitely one that I was not as familiar with. But yeah. I love the name of this band, and it was interesting. Word is they picked this name based on a suspected murderer on America's Most Wanted, which just sounds so 90s, just making that statement, right?
Yeah.
We heard it on America's Most Wanted.
Oh, my God.
I just thought that was amazing.
I used to watch that and then Unsolved Mysteries. I don't know yes. if you remember it.
Yeah, yes. with Robert Stack, of course. Yes.
And they've redone that for Netflix or something.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right.
Yeah, a lot of revivals going on. Good. What was so impressive to me about reading about the background on this one, you know, you mentioned Zabrecki. He did this like recording in a warehouse. Like he was working as a mailman, and he like did this whole, he like recorded everything. And they would hide their equipment whenever they were done. And like, he put this all together just kind of like in secret while holding this job. And then like they released everything, and you know, they had a bunch of hits on their hands. So I'm really amazed by that. Like it takes so much, dedication to your sound to do all of that work, but you know, when you believe in it, like nothing's going to slow you down. So I love that. I admire that a lot.
Yeah, and they're one of those bands too that, you know, a lot of people kind of forget about from that time period, and that's another reason why I wanted to bring up the 90s, do the 90s book too, is because there are a ton of artists that we all loved, and you know, while we may not remember the band's name or the song name, as soon as it comes on the radio, we're like, oh yeah, there's that song. So, and I just wanted to kind of, you know, resurrect some of that stuff for people.
Yeah. So this next band, a little more well-known, Fountains of Wayne, and you picked Radiation Vibe. Now, I looked at your website. You have a picture of Adam Schlesinger in your book, and
yes.
He passed away from COVID in April of 2020. So I have to ask, you know, timing-wise, when did you meet up with him and take photos versus when he unfortunately passed away?
Yeah, so I had wanted to get Adam in the book for a long time. And, you know, we went back and forth with emails and phone calls, and we were never in the same place at the same time because he was also doing work in L.A., but I thought he was in New York. So when I was in New York, it wasn't working out. But then eventually we were in the same city at the same time, and that happened to be in November of 2019.
Hmm.
So not that long before he passed away. And I probably did the interview because he didn't have a lot of time when we photographed. I spent an afternoon with him that day, but he was mostly setting up. He was doing a performance with a new band of his called Fever High, which is you should definitely check out too. It's very like Cruel Summer era Bananarama-esque type music. It's fantastic. But so I hung out with him in the afternoon, and then early evening we did some shooting. But because he was going on stage, we didn't have time to do the interview at that point. So I probably had spoken with him in February of 2020, maybe January, February of 2020, to get the interview done. And I was just, you know, COVID happened and shutdown happened, and, you know, it was still way at the beginning of that stuff, and nobody really knew what was going to happen. And we didn't even know if it was that serious, really, right? And then I heard he passed away, and I literally started to cry, and I didn't even know him that well, right?
Yeah.
But it was shocking to me that had happened, and it really kind of drove home the seriousness of what was going on. And I mean, he was so young. He's our age. Well, I don't know how old you guys are, but he's like my age.
Well, no, I felt the same way when I heard about his passing. That's when I kind of perked up and was like, well, yeah, this is sounds pretty serious then, this whole pandemic thing. So, that's interesting that you got to interview him and take photos of him so close to his passing.
And it was funny. He was definitely one of the big ones I wanted to get in the band, in the book, just because he was part of Fountains of Wayne. He was a part of this band called Ivy that I loved. All these really good. He was just, you know, a big thread of those 90s bands and that 90s sound. And
mm-hmm.
I chose Radiation Vibe just because it was the first one that I'd heard by them. And I remember hearing it on, you know, the radio being like, what is this sound? This is fantastic. And everything, you know, was just fantastic. And they have so many good songs, and I could have picked Stacy's Mom, and I could have done all this other stuff. And but
yes, we feature Fountains of Wayne on our podcast a number of times, always praising their sound and everything. So I was really happy when this one came on, because this was also one of the ones that I had heard or had grown up listening to, and one of the ones that were more familiar on this mix. So I was super happy when this came on.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fantastic. And he was so nice and just so generous with his time. And you know, that actually goes across the board with many of the artists, both in the 80s and in the 90s books, is that, you know, they really were just super nice people. I have no diva gossip to report on any of these stuff. You know, like, they all were really just
great.
Nice, you know? People often ask, oh, what were they really like? And it's like, well, they're just like you and I. They're just, you know,
sure.
Regular people that have these immense musical gifts. But
that is so awesome. I love that. All right, let's get on to track 5 here. You've got Sleep on the Left Side by Corner Shop, which I had not heard. Wasn't familiar with this group or with the song, but really enjoyed it. It has like kind of a Sublime like feel to it a little bit. Like I felt like I like kind of listening to their sound, but then also just an amazing bass line throughout the entire song. Like, I just feel like I listened to that forever. So good. So tell us about this one.
Yeah. So you definitely have to listen to more of their stuff, cause it's definitely not very Sublime-ish, but,
all right,
their big hit was Brimful of Asha, which Fatboy Slim had done a remix of. And once he did a remix of that, it kind of like blew up and went everywhere. This is the opening track of that song, When I Was Born for the Seventh Time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's British as well. And just a very soft-spoken, quiet man. You would never assume that from listening to the music, because to me, it just sounds very bombastic and just has all these like influences from like Indian music and Bollywood and rock and roll and the Beatles and all this stuff. It's kind of, which was kind of what the 90s was about, right? Like throwing all this stuff in a blender and like seeing what's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
It's fantastic. But I met him in London and we photographed and again, he was really quiet and soft spoken and we went for, you know, we had tea and then we went for a walk to do the photo thing. And, you know, as we're walking, he was like pointing out, oh, well, Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth lives over there. And then we went to this park and, you know, Bobby Gillespie from this other 90s band called Primal Scream was there walking his dog. And he's just like, hey, it's Ginger, how you doing? And I'm just like, oh, my God, can I grab him and, like, ask him to do the book, too? But I just felt like that would not be super professional. But it was just this quiet, idyllic little London neighborhood. And there were all these, like, 90s people that were just in the neighborhood just casually walking around and being there. And it was nice. And that album, When I Was Born for the Seventh Time, is really amazing. And there's, like, a note-for-note version of Norwegian Wood in Hindu. It's really great.
But. Oh, wow. That's definitely worth checking out. Another Brit pop group comes in number six, track six here, Velocity Girl with the track. Are they not British?
They're not
British.
Did
I get that wrong? They're not. Yeah, okay.
They're from Maryland, but they were assigned to Sub Pop. So I always thought that they were kind of a Seattle band.
And now
Sarah Shannon, the lead singer of that, actually lives in Seattle. So they're kind of, I still consider them a Seattle band.
Okay, I had that wrong then. Okay, bad research on my part. But I thought this was, so the song is I Can't Stop Smiling by Velocity Girl. And what's interesting is this one took me to their video on YouTube, which was directed by Spike Jonze. Oh, and it's this really funny video where it flashes between them playing the song and then them sort of being sort of posed in this like Olin Mills kind of photography setup. And so it really was kind of a funny video. And if you're familiar with Spike Jonze's work, it shouldn't surprise you at all kind of stylistically how this video looks. But I thought that was kind of interesting for an obscure band to have a Spike Jonze directed video like that.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't even know they had a video for that. I'll just check that out. I picked this one out because it's, you know, it came out, I think, in 1994-ish or something like that.
Yeah, 94.
It was just that period in my life where I was, like, free and I was out of college. And it's just a very happy song. And I think it came out in the springtime because I could remember, like, driving to my first job here in Seattle and that song blaring in the background. It was just amazing. Sarah Shannon, like I said, she now lives in Seattle, and she's part of another kids group called the Nodits, which my kids and I have gone to a bunch of times, and it's kind of like rock and roll for kids, but the adults would like to. She's great. She's fantastic.
That is awesome. Matt, I kind of feel like maybe the next direction for a podcast after we hit it big here is to do like a kids podcast. I think that it seems to be the trend.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, let's bring kids on with their own super awesome mix. It'd be a slew of JoJo Siwa and Rafi. And, yeah, a lot of stuff like that.
Kids' music totally has come a long way, though, because there's a lot of these 90s bands that are doing this kind of stuff. Like I already mentioned Chris Ballew from The Presidents.
Sarah
Shannon from this. There's
That's really interesting.
Yeah, oh my gosh, who was that? Lisa Loeb, you know, the...
Uh-huh. Oh, yes,
She's done a couple of kids albums.
She has, yes.
A couple other 90s people have done kids albums. And they're not bad, they're good. They're good stuff. It's stuff
well, that... and if you, not to get too far off track with kids talk here, but the Pete the Cat cartoon on Amazon has a lot of kind of mainstream artists that contribute to it. Like, I think Dave Matthews has done some stuff for it, and... I don't know, some other artists like that. And Lisa Loeb does the soundtrack to another kid show. So anyway, yeah, there is some better kids music out there. Yeah, it's not as, you know, brutal as I thought it would be listening to kids music.
Yeah, you have two kids, right?
I have two kids. Yeah, 8 and 5. But yes, but I also try to just introduce them to like regular music.
Sure.
So I'm like, no, just listen to this. Don't worry about that kid stuff. Yeah.
But a lot of this new kid stuff from these artists from the 90s and stuff, they sound like, you know, stuff that we would enjoy.
Yes, yeah. No, I'll definitely have to check out those bands for sure.
It's definitely not Baby Shark.
No, not that. Never that.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
So let's talk about an interesting song. It's called Know Your Chicken by Sibo Matto. This is definitely, hands down, to date, the most interesting lyrics I've ever got the chance to read. And also, seemingly one of the most hotly debated set of lyrics as to what she's actually talking about.
True.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So tell us about this pick.
So I love Cibo Matto, and there's a like this first and it means food crazy in Italian. So
nice,
the first
right,
album was kind of like a concept album on food, and they all have food related titles, like white pepper ice cream and birthday cake and all this other stuff. And they're kind of like these weird, you know, punk rock, jazz, spaghetti western kind of mm-hmm. like, again, throwing everything in a blender and just seeing what's going to come out. And then, you know, Miho Hattori is the singer on this, and she has kind of a weird broken English kind of vibe on the way that she sings it. So again, it's like you're not sure exactly what the lyrics are. I photographed Yuka Honda for the book, and she lives in New York City, and you know, she's just amazing. Like, if you listen to the, it feels like it should be a gimmicky song, but it really isn't.
Right.
And the rest of the rest of their body of work is not gimmicky at all, even though it has this kind of food vibe, or each of their albums have a very different kind of theme to it almost. But they're when you listen to it, they're really sophisticated and they're really creative and interesting. And and when I met Yuka, like, she's just, again, she's kind of a quiet figure, but she is just like this creative powerhouse, and her whole apartment is filled with synthesizers and musical equipment and her cute little puppy. And you know, like, she just lives and breathes like creative energy. It's amazing.
I love that.
Yeah. And I had seen them in the 90s on this tour. And one of the most amazing live moments I've ever seen is their encore. They came out and they did, you know, this was in the 90s, so Soundgarden was big. And they did like a 20-minute, dirgy, drony version of Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. And I know, like, journey and drogy don't really, you know, it doesn't connotate like good, but it was amazing. It was so amazing. And it went on and on for like 20 minutes. And my friend that was with me was like, what is this what is going on? But I was totally mesmerized. It was amazing.
Wow. No, they sound really unique. I mean, unique sound, like, you know, audio wise, but also just even doing research on the band, they've never really come out with an explanation of this song or any of their others. Yeah. It's just like, here it is. And so that was really unique. And to Sammer's point earlier, it seems like people have all sorts of theories over what this song means and some of their other songs. And some people just say it's meaningless. But pretty unique. I enjoyed this one, even though I was not familiar with them previously.
And speaking, going on the kids thing too, like when my kids were little, they're early teens now, but I would always sing this song to them and they would crack up. Of course, there's a couple of bad words in this song, though. So.
Yeah, a little edit there, but yeah. All right, so track 8, we go to Glad Again by Fuzzy. Now, this band was, I think, out of Boston. Is that right?
Yeah, they're another Boston band. And Hilken Mancini is a name that you can't really forget. It's just a very unique name. And randomly, back in high school, I attended this like summer arts program with the unfortunate name of Summer Fame. And she was actually in that as well, in a different cohort, but I kind of knew her like when we were teenagers. And then in the 90s, she had this band called Fuzzy, which I didn't realize was her band until many, many years later, actually, when I was trying to do this book. And again, they're another one of the more obscure bands on this list.
Mm-hmm.
But Rolling Stone did call one of their songs Flashlight, like one of the top 50 grunge songs of the 90s or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right. And like recently, this was not like a list back then. And this was a band that had broken up, like formed and broke up entirely in the 90s. So that's pretty high praise 20 years on to get rated in the top 50 like that.
Yeah, I don't really see them as grungy, more mm-hmm. so as like guitar poppy, but if you want to call it grunge, I guess I'll take it, right?
Well, if Rolling Stone wants to name us one of the top grunge podcasts out there, I'll take it.
Yeah, even
if we don't sound particularly grungy.
But I just love this band, and they have a lot of gems, and this is one of them, and it has one of my favorite lyrics. I'm hitching my wagon to a star that's got no weight. I just love that lyric, and they're really great. And I, you know, again, one of the things about this book is I wanted to kind of bring up some of these songs to, you know, some of the artists that you do know, but some bring up some of the ones that you may not remember as well.
Yeah, well done. This one, I enjoyed it a lot. It is a great song. It's one that I could very easily just like crank up the volume, play loud, and yes, kind of like rock out to. It's good. Another song, so track 9, that kind of reminds me, it does kind of remind me of the 90s, because I feel like a lot of bands were doing this then. You've got Sweetness and Light by Lush, which is like, it's noted as a shoegazing song or a dream pop. And I just love, I love both of those genre titles, because they're kind of perfect. But then I also just wonder, what does shoegazing mean? But it's great.
So there was a bunch of bands in that time period from Britain, and you know, there was Lush, there was Ride, there was My Bloody Valentine, and I think, like, you know how the British musical press is kind of snarky, and
sure,
I think like a lot of these bands just kind of stood there and they like looked down at their guitars, so they were like basically looking down at their feet.
Right, of course.
So they,
yes,
made that
checks out.
Yeah, but Lush, you know, yeah, maybe shoegaze. I don't know. It's kind of a weird term, but I don't really feel like they're shoegazy at all necessarily. I saw them in the 90s as well, and I swear to God, it was the loudest show I've ever been to in my life. And there were people like stage diving and all this crazy stuff. I'm like, what? This does not necessarily sound like music that would fit with this whole thing. But yeah.
Yeah, I looking into their catalog a little bit, this was kind of the least heavy of their songs. Like, this was kind of the most poppy, I think, of the songs, at least that I found. So yeah, it's interesting. I didn't get the shoegazing, whatever that means. It sounds like very passive, I guess, and I didn't get that feel from this band.
Yeah, this is a very loud song.
Yeah,
to your point.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like everything is turned up at its max, like, and they're all kind of competing for each other on what is the dominant sound. It's really interesting.
It's amazing,
but it's good.
And yeah, they were one of those 4AD bands that you know, there's a whole stable of artists on 4AD, and you know, back when I was that age, if I had seen 4AD was a record label, I would definitely want to pick that up. But my college roommate brought this one home, and I just remember being in love with the packaging and everything about it. And that's when I was in art school at the time, and the art director for 4AD was a guy named Vaughn Oliver, and he also passed away within the last year or so. But he was so influential and amazing, and like all of us little art school kids, based on, you know, some of these Lush records, we're like, this guy is incredible, and he has just an amazing body of work, and not to mention that the band is fantastic as well.
So shifting gears a little bit from a very loud band to something a little quieter. This is Speeding Motorcycle by Mary Lou Lord, and she has a fascinating backstory in that she dated Elliott Smith and was friends with Kurt Cobain as well. And This is actually a Daniel Johnston song, Speeding Motorcycle is, that she does here. So this is a, man, I mean, that sounds like a fascinating, that's who you got to photograph her for the book?
Yes, yes. And one of the reasons, she was another one that I really, really wanted to get in the book, because I feel like that story that you just told about her relationships with Elliott Smith and Kurt Cobain and so on, and her, you know, fighting with Courtney Love and all that stuff, I feel like that overtakes the fact that she creates really great songs, right? And yes, she's kind of the queen of, like, doing these cover songs, like the Daniel Johnston thing, but again, like the Soup Dragon song, she totally makes this song her own. And I know that Daniel Johnston has a huge fan base, but you know, I kind of think this song is her version is better, right? I shouldn't say that, but it's just she again makes it completely her own. And she's got a lot of other really great songs that she's written too, like His Indie World, which kind of addresses some of those kind of things, that some of the, you know, more tabloidy kind of aspect of her life. But But she's just amazing. She's just has a really good body of work, and I think people should recognize her for the body of work and not necessarily the tabloid stuff. And I really wanted to get her in the book to kind of highlight that.
That's great. And I mean, it's funny that you mentioned the cover being better. Matt and I have actually talked recently about doing like a mix of like bands that kind of covered it better than the originals. I think like sometimes we, you know, I'm not saying any of us are doing that, but sometimes we as people kind of dismiss a cover. Oh, it was just a cover. But it's like, no, sometimes the cover, like, it's a completely new song, you know, and yeah. It's like, it's a better song.
Yeah.
And I think that we might need to put together a mix on that, on appreciating covers, you know?
No, I think that's a great idea. Because there's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot. Yeah, it's really cool. All right, let's go to track 11. This is you've got Mother Mother by Tracy Bonham. And I absolutely, like, listening to this, I was like, oh, she could go on the Women Who Rock mix that we just
yes.
published that podcast. Because
yes.
This is such an amazing rock song. And I love the lyrics. I love her screaming, everything's fine, after listening a whole bunch of things. Like, such a fun song. So, yeah, tell us about this track.
Yeah, that again, like the Velocity Girl song, it was just this song is kind of like the right song at the right time when I was that age and I was feeling that angsty, and you know what I mean? And it was completely everything that you felt at that time, like trying to tell your parents that you're doing well, even though secretly you're really not doing that great.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, and then the frustration that comes out in her voice when she's, you know, saying everything's fine. And then, you know, to boot, you know, Tracy is just a really fantastic human being. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to kind of talk with her and hang out with her a couple of times. And, you know, she's obviously in a different place now. She's not that angsty person. But she's just, like, fantastic and an amazing musician who, you know, is very classically trained, which you may or may not know just judging it from that one song. But yeah, she's fantastic.
Well, I read she was classically trained on the violin and piano. And so this mm-hmm. is a very, like, guitar-heavy song, but it's like she has these talents in all these different instruments as well.
Yeah, and I feel like she may have gotten a raw deal in the 90s, too, just because, you know, that first album was so great. And her second album was even better, but it got kind of, like, lost in record labels shuffling around and all that other stuff. But you know, it's a shame because that second album is really, really great. And it was the second one was produced by Mitchell Froom, who had done a lot. He's just an amazing sound guy. And if you listen to that one, it's just really interesting to listen to that second record.
Well, we've talked about Hanson multiple times on this podcast as a band that these guys are really talented, but they had their big hit with Mbop and kind of got boxed into this. Well, they're this little pop group, right? Like this little pop one-hit wonder, but they're actually really talented. So, you know, sounds
everybody
like she kind
of
falls into
that
same category.
I loved Mbop. I love that song. It's a great song.
Well, it's not a bad song, but to your point about her getting a little bit overlooked, and her talent maybe being overlooked because everyone knows her for this song, you know, kind of similar thing there.
Yeah.
So speaking of a band that maybe isn't overlooked, and they're actually still together today and still touring, the Posies, yes. out of your home state of Washington, and you picked Solar Sister.
Yeah, I mean, so I was going to say I thought they were a little bit underrated, too, but you don't think so? You feel okay?
Well, maybe underrated, but I felt like when I looked at your mix, there were a handful of bands that, you know, honestly, I had not heard of before. Okay. But the Posies were one that I remembered from the 90s.
Oh,
so I was like, the Posies. There we go. So maybe that's why I put them in that category of, like, I feel like they're appreciated. I feel like people have positive things to say about them.
Good.
Yes, Matt is Matt's a tastemaker. So if he likes if he likes a band, then they have made it. That's his not so subtle way of saying that.
Their streaming numbers are going to go through the roof after this comes out, okay? Because I said it. All right.
Yep.
Kind of power I carry. All right. I host a podcast.
I love the Posies, and they just create such amazing earworms, right? And
yes.
this is the earwormiest of the earworms, I think. Just that chorus is fantastic, and I hope their streaming numbers do go way up on this.
Through the roof. through the roof.
I've seen them at a small club in Syracuse, New York, when I was a teenager. And there may have been five people there.
Wow.
So, wow.
Yeah. But I'm very glad that, And I'm sorry if I put some more obscure songs on here. Like I said, one of the things that I really wanted to do with the book is, you know, kind of lift up some of the bands that were a little under the radar maybe, and just kind of point them out, I guess.
Well, one of the things we talk about with a mixtape is it not only brings in songs that you know and have memories of, but it was also a great way to discover new music.
Yes.
So
yes.
We kind of encourage both when people come on the show or when we're making mixes. We really try to make it something where, you know, everybody's going to say, oh, I know that song and I love it, or I've never heard that song, but now I love it, right? So, I love the fact that you put in some bands here that, you know, we weren't necessarily familiar with because you know, something we talked about before is in the 90s, there was this transition as the internet got bigger to you could hear music from overseas. So some of the British bands kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit because they didn't get the radio play here in the U.S., but you know, that's something else kind of that's old but newly discovered by some people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I remember in the 80s, you know, kids passing, you know, friends passing you mixtapes, and I was kind of thinking of that. Like, I remember this girl Carrie had given me a mixtape, and you know, Echo and the Bunnymen was on it, and I'd never heard them before, and you know, I think, of course, now you love them, right? But it definitely introduced you to some of these things that you may or may not have known, and then they become your new favorite band.
That's right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on and putting this mix together. So tell everyone where they can find the book and where they can find more stuff about you.
So Live Through That comes out October 19th officially, and you can get it wherever you buy your books, if that's Amazon, if that's IndieBound, if that's, you know, bookstore.com, or is it bookstore.com? Anyway, wherever you buy your books, it should be available. And you can go to my website at hipphoto.com, HIPPHOTO.com. And also, not to be competing with you guys, but I'm going to have a companion podcast that comes out with the book where I talk to where you can get some more stories from some of the artists. And that launches, and it's called Live Through That, and it launches October 12th, I think, too.
That's awesome. We'll definitely give that a listen. That sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has really been fun.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for the great mix and the amazing stories. Come back anytime. This is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So all the listeners out there, you can find us on social media at Super Awesome Mix. And of course, go to our website, superawesomemix.com, and click on events to find out how you can bring a Super Awesome Mix to your next event. But there you go. Another Super Awesome Mix for your collection. So for Mike and Sammer, this is Matt, and we will see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.